A, we have to keep the pigs in their thermal neutral zone so that we keep performance up. The next thing is we need to provide a good environment for workers in terms of, you know, that general thermal and gases. We also need to make sure it's economical. So we need to have a good ventilation system that we're not spending a lot of money on operating costs. And that really is a balance between air quality and environment inside the barn with the cost it takes to operate it.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production.
Digestrum Finish helps optimize feed efficiency, supporting healthy growth in finisher pigs. Enhance your profitability today. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish.
Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Sidlines, an Ecolab company, offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene in the swine industry.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have with me Dr. Brett Ramirez. Dr. Ramirez is an associate professor in the Department of Agricultural and Biosystems Engineering at Iowa State University. At Iowa State, he leads an integrated research and extension program focused on ventilation design and management, climate physiology, mass mortality management, with extensive work in the area of swine and layer facilities. His mission is to provide and advance the science and technology needed in these areas in animal production systems. Brett, welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So today our topic is going to be optimizing ventilation in your swine facility. Let's learn from the experts. So Brett, before we begin, take a few minutes to introduce yourself to the audience, a little background of your career path.
Yeah, so my career path started at the University of Illinois, where I did my bachelor's and master's in agricultural engineering. Transitioned over to Iowa State to finish my PhD, mainly related to swine environments. I dabble in quite a few species. As an engineer, we tend to think of them less as animals, more as heat and moisture producing spheres and cylinders, and, you know, kind of take the engineering principles behind environmental control, you know, and apply them across a lot of different housing types, barns, for all different types of production.
Yeah, great. So we've crossed paths in the swine industry. So I know you're an expert out there that a lot of people seek advice on. So I appreciate that. And it's fun to have you on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the fun things about getting to work with a lot of the different producers across the country and now some of the world is, you know, every system is just so unique and with such different challenges, whether it's climate, housing type, or housing goals. It's just kind of always a fun and new challenge to experience.
Yeah, something new every day, which kind of makes it exciting.
Absolutely.
Looking to improve the performance of your finisher pigs? Digestrum Finish offers a phytogenic solution that boosts feed digestibility, enhances growth performance, and reduces mortality and morbidity. With benefits such as improved average daily gain by 1.7% and a 1.8% improvement in feed conversion, Digestrum Finish helps you achieve a faster finish and better profitability. Discover the benefits today. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish.
Well, great. So we're going to explore swine barn ventilation because this is the Swine It podcast. So I know you do some work in other types of facilities. But to start us off, would you just give us, kind of the basics of, you know, the ventilation layout? And we don't have the ability really for a lot of schematics on the podcast. So just step us through, the typical barn layout, what the pieces are.
Yeah. So to do that, I'll just do quickly the three steps of ventilation. We have to bring fresh air in. We have to mix it where we pick up all the heat, moisture, dust, pathogens, gases. Then we have to exhaust it. So the whole barn ventilation system is built on getting fresh air in, mixing and distributing that fresh air throughout the room, and then exhausting it with fans. So all barns are going to have some sort of an intake. Some of it might be on a soffit, might be on an end wall, might be through somewhere else, but there's somewhere to get that fresh air in. Then we might filter it. We might put it through an evaporative cooling pad, but we got to get that fresh air in. Then all barns are going to have some sort of a fresh air distribution system. So that's usually done with ceiling inlets. So there's space throughout the barn to mix that fresh air, get it distributed. And then barns are going to have exhaust fans. So if we're looking at swine facilities, most of them are going to be a negative pressure. So they're creating a slight vacuum to suck that air in. And then those exhaust fans are going to exchange the air and take it out. And those can be located in all sorts of different spots.
Right. No, that's perfect. Exactly. So tell us why it's important for a ventilation system to work. So, you know, the basics about that, right?
Yeah. There's the few key ones are is A, we have to keep the pigs in their thermal neutral zone so that we keep performance up. The next one is we need to provide a good environment for workers in terms of, you know, that general thermal and gases. We also need to make sure it's economical. So we need to have a good ventilation system that we're not spending a lot of money on operating costs. And that really is a balance between air quality and environment inside the barn with the cost it takes to operate it.
Yeah, right. So these ventilation systems, right, are important, but what are the roadblocks and challenges to optimizing them? You know, what are the big pieces that are challenging when it comes to animal or swine production facilities, ventilation?
Yeah, I think there's kind of three or four major ones. One of them being design. A lot of barns get designed poorly or without the right correct size equipment, might not be the correct design for the correct climate. And anything related to that design, which is really, really hard to change after the fact. I say a lot of my work is in fixing bad designs, which are very expensive. It's not very easy to change fan locations, change inlet locations, but making sure that design is good from the start and a proper investment is made into ventilation really goes a long way. Then there's challenges related to like construction integrity, making sure the barn's built nice and tight with good materials. And then lastly, on maintenance and controller settings of just making sure equipment's functional, well-maintained, and when the humans program in a controller, they get the right settings in there, because really all those things at the end during management, they can't look retrospectively at construction or design. So we have to then just work with what we've got and then figure out how to overcome some of those other issues.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been involved in some designs that weren't probably the right, design for the system. How do you do some consulting work and work with, you know, construction companies to try to get those designs right in the beginning? How can we do better in that space?
Yeah. I work with construction companies and equipment suppliers and try to provide educational opportunities for getting some of the correct specifications out there. And making sure people are aware of those and what are some of those best practices throughout that design build process that you'll make sure we're starting off on a good foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. So previously you mentioned, the human part of setting controller settings, right? And so there's so many different systems out there. I don't even work in the ventilation space. I'm a veterinarian, but I've just seen so many different types of controllers. So tell us what are those important pieces of controller settings. Are all those settings important and how do we manage that?
Yeah, there really is a whole lot of variation and they all use different terminology, which makes it really complicated sometimes to understand, you know, what is that term actually represent in terms of controlling that environment. So one of the most important things is understand the one you have and what those mean for that specific one. Because if you don't really understand them, and some are much more complicated than others, or if they come from different countries, there's all nuances with them, but understand the one you have. And I would say to some extent, there's some settings that might be a little bit less relevant than other ones, kind of all degrees on the level of complexity within the controller. But there's the really key ones of understanding of, temperature curves, set point temperatures, differentials between fan staging, getting the proper fan staging input, heater offsets, motor curves, and just kind of going through the key ones that are going to have more of an impact on that environment or on the operating costs of that facility.
Yeah, exactly. So what I heard was, you know, learn your system, right? What your barn has, and try to, you know, get the settings for the right season and the right barn. And then, of course, you know, in your space, you've got sow systems and you've got grow finish systems. And so, and they're quite different, right, than each other. So this is it's kind of a huge topic for a short podcast, but we'll try to stay with some of the, you know, basic information pieces. So in a swine barn, there's a lot of moisture, as you mentioned before. Let's talk about maintenance of these systems. What recommendations do you have for keeping them running smoothly?
Yeah, so it'll probably vary a little bit season to season as kind of as we go into colder weather. There's maybe a few different things we need to look at versus in going into summertime. There's a few different things we need to look at. But some of the just the general maintenance one is, you know, have a checklist and be prepared to do it. Make sure it gets done. I think that's probably one of the trickier parts is just staying on top of the people that need to do the maintenance or go through those systems and actually having a way to verify that that maintenance checklist is getting implemented. And then, you know, if something does need to be fixed or replaced, there's a mechanism to get it fixed and replaced, because it's really hard to, you know, back to the title of this on optimizing, it's really hard to optimize a ventilation system if there's non-functional equipment, right? There's, you can't really make many improvements if equipment's not functioning because of a lack of maintenance or just never got replaced or never checked. So just really making sure things are getting checked timely throughout the year and following some sort of a SOP or a checklist to get those done.
And so, Brett, do you have a, you know, is there some kind of a school or a, you know, a place for producers or production managers to go to help understand, you know, some of these maintenance requirements and how do you check it, that kind of thing? Or you work with the company, you know, representatives? What's your best advice there?
Yeah, there's a mix of different resources. Like I know, like in the BIC Wean to Finish guidelines, there's some checklists. I know we have some checklists on Iowa State's Extension website. I've done several presentations on recommended maintenance. Yeah, and you can work with the equipment dealers. We'll have their ways of, or you know, suggestions on maintenance frequencies. And yeah, so there's a lot of different opportunities to get that information.
Yeah, absolutely. And so share with me an example of a system or operation that is doing it right. And what did you see that made them so much more successful?
Yeah, so there's definitely some really good ones out there. And I think those good ones have people passionate and really in charge of ventilation for the system. Because there's a lot of times there's generally maybe not that one person at a lot of companies. And so having a champion or someone that can drive, you know, employee training, drive, you know, checklists, and kind of put a lot of the best practices in throughout the system, I've really seen it done good, them do a good job at it. And systems that know what the ventilation is supposed to be like in each barn. So if I get to a barn and there's a handout by the controller that explains exactly what the temperature should be, the staging should be, you know, what it should look like in a few different scenarios, those ones really give a good opportunity, because a lot of times people change things a lot. And if you don't really have that reference to go back to figure out what was it supposed to be or what have I changed and why did I change it, I think it's really good to have a handout of some sort at each barn that explains really what the design was or what the best operating configuration is. So that way, if things do get changed, somebody can go back and reference it and try to get it back to its best state.
Yeah. So what I heard was a system who has somebody who really understands ventilation, understands the needs of the pigs, and then perhaps also has a lot of understanding on the different controllers and devices that are in those barns. And then also a kind of written down basics, right? And having that by the controller. So if the settings are all, you know, off, you can have sort of a baseline to start with, a bit of a schematic or an outline.
Yeah. And what you see sometimes is that some systems will have 30, 40 different types of ventilation systems, and then nobody really knows what is the goal supposed to be and how to implement those across 40 different styles, because each one of those styles is going to take a little bit of massaging and learning and experimenting to figure those out, and then getting each of those styles categorized and set up with a good procedures for each one. Seems to go a long way, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get there, but it makes total sense when you get there. It's a little bit, I kind of look at ventilation as it's kind of like microbiology. There's a little art to it. You know, there's some specific kind of recipe and, you know, airflow and things to measure, objective things, but a little bit of it is because it's a facility, there's some tweaking, I guess is the right word. There's a little art to it, and having a person on your team that really understands it is helpful. That's your go-to. So that makes sense. And there sounds like there's some resources to send a person to learn more and to really get that level of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely an art and a science, because there's, you know, engineering principles and good recommendations on that science part, but then it sometimes really does take some creative problem solving and approaches to then get the science into practice and make that ventilation system good.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny when I would go through barns with a group of people, there was always somebody who was really, went right to the controller and not only just looked at what the settings were, but probably started tweaking. And so I was like, we can spend hours tweaking this stuff. And so having somebody that's really focused on it, like I was focused on health. I think that's helpful.
Yeah. When things get changed, you know, they never seem to ever go back to where they were. So verifying those things over time. And then if people are making changes, you know, you have to wait. Ventilation's not a very quick process. It takes time. And also ventilation is really, you can only look at it for the time that you're there, because as soon as the outside temperature changes, whatever happens with the local weather, it's going to totally change how that ventilation system responds. So making adjustments is really a multi-day, week, seasonal thing that has to be explored somewhat frequently, because ventilation is so dependent on whatever the outside weather is doing.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And, you know, some barns are located where there's truly huge differences in seasonal temperature, right? And, you know, Minnesota, for instance. And so having kind of that outline for at least the four seasons that you'll experience is key. And then, you know, how to adjust. And like you said, one day is going to be quite different from the next day. And so what are the things that you can adjust quickly to make a difference, and other things that you're really just not going to be able to make it perfect?
Yep. It's a art and a science.
No, that's a good description. So tell me about the future of swine facility ventilation. What do you see coming, you know, coming at us, and what's kind of the 5 to 10 year outlook? Is there going to be some new things coming?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's just been kind of a little bit of a reduction in facility construction, you know, over the last couple of years. And I think that's also resulted in a little bit of fewer product developments on the ventilation side. But I think we'll continue to see more efficient fans that move more air and are much more pressure stable, that require less maintenance. And I think we'll keep seeing more advanced controllers that can do more things, with controllers being connected online. That's really, opened up the door for, remote troubleshooting, saving a lot of time and resources from people having to go to barns when a lot of times you can troubleshoot remotely. And that's been a huge benefit, and being able to, see more insight into equipment operation from those controllers. I think that'll probably be on the next step of understanding, what's going on? What equipment is the equipment going to kind of self-diagnose itself at some point? So then people can maybe get on maintenance faster, or, ahead of it, because it's now being predicted, and to kind of see where that all goes will be kind of interesting.
Yeah. I think there's some, having some of that remote capability will certainly help. Not everything can be troubleshooted from afar, but I think in terms of how, far out maybe the sites are from where people live, right? To go just check on it and to drive by the barn and check in, having a remote system just makes sense and will be a definite time saver. But it's a, you know, we had to start with getting those barns with the internet connection, right? So it was sort of like you have to you have to start at the very beginning and then get that connectedness. So I really was interested in the warnings that are sent out, you know, for temperature failures, right? And so those are key, like not relying only on a generator system to come on, et cetera. Having an actual internet connection so it sends a warning that something's really wrong in this barn to try to, you know, save the catastrophic events.
Yeah, and now I think one of the challenges is that we almost get too many warnings and then people, you know, start to become somewhat numb to those warnings and then kind of teasing out what are the most important warnings and when is it really something I need to fix or I need to get on top of, just because sometimes you can get so many notifications from a controller a day and then at some point, you know, some of them mean something, some of them are purely just warnings. And so trying to prioritize warnings that need to be addressed, I think is always going to be a challenge in the future.
Yeah, setting up those systems so that the warnings, you know, you don't end up with kind of fatigue, right? And not addressing the ones that really do mean something. So yeah, that's a good point. So Brett, we're going to kind of rounding up our time here together. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Brett Ramirez, send it through on your podcast platform, or you can find him at Iowa State University. Also, if you like our podcast, please give us a thumbs up and send us any comments or suggestions. So before we sign off, do you have any final thoughts or take homes for the listeners, something you want them to grab and take home from this discussion?
Yeah, I think I'd just kind of summarize it with, you know, spend time on ventilation, think about it, learn about it, try to focus on it. A lot of times, as you mentioned, you know, walking with a group of people, everybody looks at something different in the barn. And so trying to get people focused on ventilation a time or two and not get distracted by the thousand other things that are going on in a barn, from, you know, feed, water, health, equipment, you know, just look at ventilation and build up an intuition of, you know, what's the system supposed to be doing versus what is it currently doing? And is there a discrepancy between that? Situate yourself in the environment, the climate, and just focus on ventilation and try to block out those distractions to see if you can really figure out if something needs to be improved with the ventilation system.
Yeah, great advice. There's so many things you can, you know, look at. And like I said, I always go straight to the health of the pigs. And so having that expert, that person that's really focusing on ventilation is important. And then having everybody know what the basics are, those settings, right? Having some knowledge. And I always used to say, not only know how to fix it, but at least understand how to identify when there's a problem and then who to go to.
Yep, absolutely. At the minimum, that's one of the best courses of action.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Keys Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Are you looking for effective cleaning and disinfection solutions for your farm? Look no further than Sid Lines and Ecolab Company. Our swine program offers advanced hygiene solutions that ensure thorough cleaning and disinfection of barns and drinking water systems. With products like Kinesan, Virucid, and our newest addition, Sid 15X, you can reduce pathogens, improve animal health, and boost productivity. Trust Sid Lines for a cleaner, healthier, and more efficient swine production.
Well, thank you so much for your information and advice on ventilation in the swine barn. Now we're going to move to the hallmark of the Swinet podcast show, where we ask our guests three specific questions. So, Brett, What's your favorite book or resource in your area of expertise?
Yeah, so I think probably my favorite is Environmental Control for Plants and Animals by Louis Albright that was published back in 1990, as it's kind of been the foundation for the past 35 years on how to do environmental control for, you know, livestock housing.
How about a resource or book outside of your area of expertise? What's something that you think would be interesting to our listeners?
Yeah, I don't do a whole lot of reading. I've substituted that hobby with golfing, so that's usually what I'll be doing instead of picking up a book. Though I will read a few golf books, but I'll be on the driving range or the course.
There you go. So taking some time to reflect, and that's your expert advice. Good. Doing something fun.
Yep, I like the focus and the, the blocking out of anything golfing is fantastic, because if you're not concentrated in golfing, it's impossible to play well.
Yeah, exactly. That game can be frustrating, and you definitely need to do it often to, at least in my experience, to get better. So practice makes perfect.
Yes, it does.
Good. Okay. So lastly, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
Yeah, I think I'd say good communication, from not only being able to, talk and explain something, but also being able to listen and understand things. Having the ability to really understand a problem or a situation through discussing with people, and then being able to kind of translate possible solutions that are, technically sound, but still make sense to who you're talking to. I think with successful communication, we see things be a lot more productive and, really make good change through, good two-way listening, understanding, discussing, and coming up with solutions that make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Communicating, I can't imagine how important that is, because there's some really technical things around ventilation and production systems and in, engineering in your space. And so getting that technical information relayed in a, intelligent way, but also a simple way, so it's understandable. So yeah, that makes sense.
It's a challenge, but it's really rewarding when it works.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Brett, for being my guest today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.